Rule 118, pretrial. Section 1, pretrial, mandatory in criminal cases. In all criminal cases cognizable by the San Miguel Bayan Regional Trial Court, Metropolitan Trial Court, Municipal Trial Court in Cities, Municipal Trial Court, and Municipal Circuit Trial Court, the court shall, after arraignment and within 30 days from the date of the court, acquires jurisdiction over the person of the accused, unless a shorter period is provided for in special laws or circulars of the Supreme Court, order a pretrial conference to consider the following: A. Plea bargaining. B. Stipulation of facts. C. Marking for identification of evidence of the parties. D. Waiver of objections to admissibility of evidence. E. Modification of the order of trial if the accused admits the charge but interposes a lawful defense. And F. Such matters as will promote a fair and expeditious trial of the criminal and civil aspects of the case. Annotations: this section is similar to and implements Section 2 of RA 8493. The Speedy Trial Act 1998, paragraph E, is added to the section. Pre-trial conference defined. Pre-trial conference is a procedural device used prior to trial to narrow issues to be tried, to secure stipulations as to matters and evidence to be heard, and to take all other steps necessary to aid in the disposition of the case. Purpose of pre-trial. Pre-trial is primarily intended to make certain that all issues necessary to the disposition of a case are properly raised, thus to obviate the element of surprise. Parties are expected to disclose at a pretrial conference all issues of law and fact which they intend to raise at the trial, except such as may involve privilege or impeaching matters. The determination of issues at a pretrial conference bars the consideration of other questions on appeal. Pretrial mandatory. The conduct of pretrial in criminal cases is made mandatory. Time to hold pretrial. The rule provides that the pretrial shall be conducted within 30 days from the date the court acquires jurisdiction over the accused. However, the guidance to be observed by trial court judges and clerks of court in the conduct of pretrial and use of deposition discovery measures provides that after the arraignment, the court shall forthwith set the pretrial conference within 30 days from the date of arraignment. When the accused is under preventive detention, the pretrial conference of his case shall be held within 10 days after the arraignment. Under the revised guidance for continuous trial of criminal cases, the arraignment of the accused and the pretrial shall be set within 10 calendar days from date of the court's receipt of the case for detained person and within 30 calendar days from the date of the court acquires jurisdiction either by arrest or voluntary surrender over non-detained accused unless a shorter period is provided by special law or Supreme Court circular. The arraignment and pretrial as well as promulgation of decision shall be held in the morning of Friday. Effect of lack of pretrial. Unless there is a showing of substantial prejudice caused to a party, the trial court's inadvertent failure to calendar the case for a pretrial or a preliminary conference cannot render the proceedings illegal or void ab initio. A party's failure to object to the absence of a pretrial is deemed a waiver of his right thereto. Postponement of pretrial. The grant or denial of a motion to postpone pretrial hearing is within the sound discretion of the trial court, which should take into account two factors in the grant or denial of motions for postponement, namely, letter E, the reason for the postponement, and letter B, the merits of the case of the movement. Matters to be considered. In the pretrial conference, the following shall be considered: A. Plea bargaining. B. Stipulation of facts. C. Marking for identification of evidence of the parties. D. Waiver of objections to admissibility of evidence. E. Modification of the order of trial if the accused admits the charge but interposes a lawful defense. And F. Such matters as will promote a fair and expeditious trial of the criminal and civil aspects of the case. A. Plea bargaining. In the pretrial conference, the court may consider plea bargaining, Section 1E, Rule 118, in which the accused may plead guilty to a lesser offense with the consent of the prosecutor and the offended party. Plea bargaining defined. Plea bargaining is a process whereby the accused and the prosecutor in a criminal case work out a mutually satisfactory disposition of the case subject to court approval. It usually involves the accused pleading guilty to a lesser offense or to only one of some of the courts of a multi-count indictment in return for a lighter sentence than that possible for the graver charge. Plea bargaining when available. Plea bargaining is allowed during the arraignment, the pretrial, and even to the point when the prosecution already rested its case. If the accused moved to plead guilty to a lesser offense subsequent to a bail hearing or after the prosecution already rested its case. The rules allow such plea only when the prosecution does not have sufficient evidence to establish the guilt of the accused for the crime charged. Effect of void plea bargaining. A judgment rendered by the trial court which was based on a void plea bargaining is also void ab initio and cannot be considered to have attained finality for the simple reason that a void judgment has no legality from its inception, hence a judgment of conviction rendered against accused is void and double jeopardy will not lie. In a case, the accused pleaded guilty to the two charges of rape of his daughter but bargained for a lesser penalty for each case, the trial court sentenced him to 10 years imprisonment in each case. The cases were, however, revived upon the instance of the private complainant on the ground that the penalty imposed was too light. The accused pleaded not guilty on rearraignment. Thereafter, he pleaded again guilty and was sentenced to suffer the penalty of death. When the issue of double jeopardy was raised, the High Court ruled that the judgment rendered by the trial court, which was based on a void plea bargaining, is also void ab initio and cannot be considered to have attained finality for the simple reason that the void judgment has no legality from its inception. It must be emphasized that the accused did not plead to a lesser offense but pleaded guilty to the rape charges and only bargained for a lesser penalty. The trial court should have vacated such a plea and entered a plea of not guilty for a conditional plea of guilty or one subject to the proviso that a certain penalty be imposed upon him is equivalent to a plea of not guilty in the case of People v. Maga. Modification of affirmative plea to a lesser offense. If the accused pleads guilty to a lesser offense pursuant to a pretrial agreement, the agreement on the plea of the accused to a lesser offense may only be revised, modified, or annulled by the court when the same is contrary to law, public morals, or public policy. Plea bargaining in drugs cases. Section 23 of the Comprehensive Drugs Law, RA 9165, does not allow any person charged under any of its provision regardless of the imposable penalty to avail of the provision on plea bargaining. Section 23 was declared unconstitutional in Estipona Jr. v. Lobrigo. Consequently, plea bargaining may be availed of in drug cases. B. Stipulation of facts. In the pretrial conference, the court may consider stipulation of facts. The trial court may advise and urge the parties during the pretrial conference to arrive at a stipulation of facts for their own convenience and to simplify subsequent proceedings, but there is no law which compulsorily requires litigants to stipulate at pretrial on the facts and issues under pain of dismissal.
Proposals for stipulation shall be done with the active participation of the court itself and shall not be left alone to the counsels. A stipulation of facts in criminal cases is sanctioned by law. It is done in further pursuit of the objective of expediting trial by dispensing with the presentation of evidence on matters that the accused is willing to admit. Further stipulations are recognized as declarations constituting judicial admissions binding upon the parties. Stipulation of facts defined. Stipulation of facts is an agreement on the facts of a case in order to simplify the issues thereof and to guide the court properly in making a judicious decision. Stipulations under the revised guidelines. Under the revised guidelines, during pretrial preliminary conference, the court shall require the parties to enter into stipulations on the subject of both direct and cross-examination of witnesses who have no personal knowledge of the material facts constituting the crime, such as forensic chemists, medical legal officers, investigators, auditors, accountants, engineers, custodians, expert witnesses, and other similar witnesses who will testify on the authenticity, due execution, and the contents of public documents and reports, corroborative witnesses, and those who will testify on the civil liability. This rule is without prejudice to allowing additional direct and cross-examination questions. If stipulations cannot be had in full where the adverse party does not waive the right to cross-examination, the subject of the direct testimony of these witnesses should be stipulated upon without prejudice to additional direct and cross-examination questions. Effect of stipulation of facts. A stipulation of facts by the parties in a criminal case is recognized as declarations constituting judicial admissions, hence binding upon the parties. Accordingly, the stipulation of facts stated in the pretrial order amounts to an admission by the parties, resulting in the waiver of their right to present evidence on their behalf. With respect to facts stipulated, while it is true that the right to present evidence is guaranteed under the Constitution, this right may be waived expressly or impliedly. The rule is that no proof need be offered as to any facts admitted at a pretrial hearing. However, the Supreme Court has rejected stipulation of facts as a species of evidence to prove the qualifying circumstances of rape. Neither can a stipulation of the parties with respect to the victim's age be considered sufficient proof of minority. Circumstances that qualify a crime and increase its penalty to death cannot be subject of stipulation. An accused cannot be condemned to suffer the extreme penalty of death on the basis of stipulations or his own admissions. This strict rule is warranted by the seriousness of the penalty of death. Distinguish from stipulations of facts during trial. The stipulation of facts during the pretrial conference should be distinguished from stipulations during the trial. In the first, the stipulation of facts must be reduced in writing and signed by the accused and counsel. On the other hand, a stipulation of facts entered into by the prosecution and defense counsel during trial in open court is automatically reduced into writing and contained in the official transcript of the proceedings. Had in court, the conformity of the accused in the form of his signature affixed thereto is unnecessary in view of the fact that an attorney who is employed to manage a party's conduct of a lawsuit has prima facie authority to make relevant admissions by pleadings, by oral or written stipulation, which, unless allowed to be withdrawn, are conclusive. In fact, judicial admissions are frequently those of counsel or of the attorney of record who is, for the purpose of the trial, the agent of his client. When such admissions are made for the purpose of dispensing with proof of some fact, they bind the client, whether made during or even after the trial. See marking of evidence. In the pretrial conference, the court may consider the marking for identification of evidence of the parties. Under this subsection, what is specified in the marking for identification of evidence for the parties? A proffer of exhibits or evidence is not among the enumerated in this section. A proffer of evidence, or more specifically, an offer of evidence, is generally made at the time a party closes the presentation of his evidence, in which case the adverse party is given the opportunity to object thereto, and the court rules on the same. When evidence proposed to be presented is rejected by the court, a proffer of evidence is usually made stating its nature and purpose had it been admitted. In the pretrial conference, the court may consider the waiver of objections to the admissibility of evidence. E. Modification of the order of trial. In the pretrial conference, the court may consider the modification of the order of trial if the accused admits the charge but interposes a lawful defense. The order of trial is provided for under Section 11, Rule 119. When the accused admits the act or omission charge in the complaint or information but interposes a lawful defense, the order of trial may be modified. The modification of the order of trial lies at the discretion of the court. Among the lawful defenses that may be interposed by the accused are the justifying and exempting circumstances under Articles 11 and 12, respectively, of the Revised Penal Code, as well as defense of relationship in crimes against property under Article 332 of the same code. F. Other matters. In the pre-trial conference, the court may consider such matters as will promote a fair and expeditious trial of the criminal and civil aspects of the case. The agreement of the parties during the pretrial conference to adopt their respective evidence in the civil case to the criminal case is allowed under this subsection, which provides that during pretrial conference, the parties shall consider such other matters as will promote a fair and expeditious trial. In a case in which at the pretrial, the parties agreed that the accused appellant on trial are Orlando Lutaw y Lobos and Julio Medera y Torcido, both members of the CAFGU, under the command of Lieutenant Arismindo Dayaon, of the Philippine Army and stationed in Barangay Malobago, Municipality of San Roque, Northern Samar, and throughout the proceedings, neither they claim that their admission was an error nor claim as defense that they are not the person accused of the crime at bar. It was held that the question of whether accused appellants are the persons actually accused in the case is a non-issue. The issue was settled during the pretrial of the case where the parties agreed that the accused appellants on trial are Orlando Lutaw E. Lobos and Julio Medera E. Torcido by their admission that they are the Orlando Lutaw and the Julio Medera accused of committing the crime at bar. The prosecution witness were relieved of the burden of making an in-court identification of accused appellant as the malefactors. Section 2, Pretrial Agreement. All agreements or admissions made or entered during the pretrial conference shall be reduced in writing and signed by the accused and counsel, otherwise they cannot be used against the accused. The agreements covering the matters referred to in Section 1 of this rule shall be approved by the court. This section is similar to and implements Section 3 of RA 84-93, purpose of the rule. The purpose of this requirement is to further safeguard the rights of the accused against improvident or unauthorized agreements or admissions which his counsel may have entered into without his knowledge, as he may have waived his presence at the pretrial conference, and eliminate any doubt on the conformity of the accused to the facts agreed upon. Necessity of accused and counsel's signature. The rule requires that the agreement or admission shall be reduced in writing and signed by the accused and counsel. By its very language, the rule is mandatory. Under the rule of statutory construction, negative words and phrases are to be regarded as mandatory, while those in the affirmative are merely directory. The use of the term shall further emphasizes its mandatory character and means that it is imperative operating to impose a duty which may be enforced. If the pretrial agreement is not signed by the accused, the admission therein cannot be used in evidence against him. Put in another way, to bind the accused, the pretrial order must be signed not only by him but his counsel as well. In a case, the accused was convicted of the offense charged based only on stipulation of facts entered into between the prosecution and the defense during the pretrial conference. The stipulation of facts was not, however, signed by the accused. It was held that the omission of the signature of the accused and his counsel as mandatorily required by the rules renders the stipulation of facts inadmissible in evidence. The fact that the lawyer of the accused in his memorandum confirmed the stipulation of facts does not cure the defect, because Rule 118 requires both the accused and his counsel to sign the stipulation of facts. But were the parties in compliance with Section 4 of Rule 118 reduced to writing their pretrial agreement and signed by the accused and her counsel, and the public prosecutor, the accused is bound by the pretrial agreement and she cannot belatedly disavow its content. In the case of Chua Bors versus CA. Section 3, Non-Appearance at Pretrial Conference. If the counsel for the accused of the prosecutor does not appear at the pretrial conference and does not offer an acceptable excuse for his lack of cooperation, the court may impose proper sanctions or penalties. This provision is the same as and implements Section 4, Non-Appearance of Counsel. If the counsel for the accused or the prosecutor does not appear at the pretrial conference and does not offer an acceptable excuse for his lack of cooperation, the court may impose proper sanctions or penalties. The defense counsel or the public or private prosecutor who did not appear at the conference may be held in contempt of court. Absence of parties. The rule does not provide for the absence of the accused or the private offended party at the pretrial. However, the guidelines to be observed by trial court judges and clerk of courts in the conduct of pretrial and use of deposition discovery measures provides that after the arraignment, the court shall forthwith set the pretrial conference within 30 days from the date of arraignment and issue an order requiring the private offended party to appear thereat for purposes of plea bargaining and for other matters requiring his presence. Under the revised guidelines, the court shall proceed with the pretrial despite the absence of the accused and or private complainant, provided they were duly notified of the same and the counsel for the accused as well as the public prosecutor are present. Section 4, Pretrial Order. After the pretrial conference, the court shall issue an order reciting the actions taken, the facts stipulated, and evidence marked. Such order shall bind the parties, limit the trial to matters not disposed of, and control the course of the action during the trial unless modified by the court to prevent manifest injustice. This provision is the same as and implements Section 5, RA 84-93. Issuance of pretrial order. The trial judge shall issue a pretrial order Within 10 days after the termination of the pretrial, setting forth the actions taken during the pretrial conference, the facts stipulated the admission made, evidence marked, the number of witnesses to be presented, and the schedule of trial. Use of pretrial order. The pretrial controls the subsequent course of action unless modified before the trial to prevent manifest injustice. Said order shall bind the parties, limit the trial to matters not disposed of, and control the course of the action during the trial. The trial must be limited to those not disposed of by admissions or agreements of counsel, hence a party is bound by the delimitation of the issues during the pretrial where he himself agreed to the same and to the delimitation of the issues contained in the trial court's order. Permanent concrete products versus Teodoro. The determination of issues at the pretrial conference bars the consideration of other questions on appeal. However, if a party failed to object to the introduction of evidence on an issue outside of the pretrial order as well as in cross-examining the witness in regard to said evidence, he is deemed to have waived the delimitation in a pretrial order. Failure to object to the introduction of evidence on an issue not contained in the pretrial order amounts to an implied consent conferring jurisdiction on the court to try the said issue. Service of pretrial order. Under the revised guidelines, the pretrial order shall immediately be served upon the parties and counsel on the same day after the termination of the pretrial. Mediation. Under the revised guidelines, the following cases shall be referred to mediation on the civil liability unless a settlement is reached earlier in the pretrial or preliminary conference. Number 1, crimes where payment may prevent criminal prosecution or may extinguish criminal liability, such as violations of letter A, BP Bilang 22, letter B, SSS Law, RA number 1161 as amended by RA number 8282, C, Pag-ibig Law, RA number 9679. Number 2, crimes against property under Title 10 of the Revised Penal Code where the obligations may be civil in nature, such as letter A, theft under Article 308 RPC cognizable by the first level courts, letter B, estafa under Article 315, paragraph 1 RPC except estafa under Article 315, paragraph 2 and 3, letter C, other forms of swindling under Article 316 RPC, D, swindling of a minor under Article 317 RPC, E, other deceits under Article 318 RPC, and F, malicious mischief under Article 327 RPC. Number 3, crimes against honor under Title 13 RPC where the liability may be civil in nature, such as letter A, liable by means of writing or similar means under Article 355 RPC, letter B, threatening to publish an offer to present such publication for a compensation under Article 356 RPC, letter C, prohibition publication of acts referred to in the course of official proceedings under Article 357 RPC, letter D, grave slander, grave oral defamation of serious and insulting nature under Article 358 paragraph 1 RPC, letter E, simple slander, oral defamation not of a serious and insulting nature under Article 358 paragraph 2 RPC, F, grave slander by deed of a serious nature under Article 359 paragraph 1 RPC, letter G, simple slander by deed not of a serious nature under Article 359 paragraph 2 RPC, H, incriminating innocent person under Article 363 RPC, I, intriguing against honor under Article 364 RPC, number 4, libel under RA 10175 Cybercrime Prevention Act of 2012 where this liability may be civil in nature, 5, criminal negligence under Title 14 RPC where the liability may be civil in nature, and 6, intellectual property rights cases where the liability may be civil in nature. The referral of the case for mediation to the Philippine Mediation Center PMC unit shall be made only after the conduct of the arraignment and the pretrial preliminary conference. The court shall serve the order of referral to the PMC unit immediately after the arraignment and the pretrial preliminary conference. The mediation shall be terminated within a non-extendable period of 30 calendar days from the date of referral by the court to the PMC unit. After the lapse of the mediation period, if mediation fails, trial shall proceed. Except those cases mentioned above, criminal cases subject to the rule on summary procedure shall not be referred to mediation.